Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have Michelle Carfellow, who is Member Relations Officer for the Texas Bankers Association, where she is responsible for maintaining and growing member relationships. Michelle began her career with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, Houston branch in business development in 1998 and spent 10 years with Frost Bank in correspondent banking. She lives in Houston with her husband, and together they have four amazing daughters and a sweet grandson. Michelle, welcome to the episode today.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
Michelle, I love the fact that you have four daughters because I actually have four boys, and my wife and I are actually expecting our fifth little boy any day now. So I understand the feeling of having all of something.
The estrogen ocean, as I like to call it.
You know, I wouldn't know what that's like. Me, I just have to worry about my house getting burned down around me or broken or something like that.
I have the squeals from bugs.
That's awesome. Well, Michelle, as we jump into our episode here, I always like to start with my guests by asking, how did you get started in the banking sector? Was the Federal Reserve Bank your first job in the banking sector? Did you have something before then? Like, how did this begin for you?
Well, at the time I was selling computer products and services, and the Fed was one of my prospects. And okay. I pitched them and pitched them. And finally I thought, they're, you know, either yes or no. And she said, you know, you're really great. You should come and work here instead. And so I joined the Federal Reserve, and wow, it was a wonderful change. And when the Fed calls, usually someone answers. So that was a fun change.
Yeah, that's definitely true. When the regulator calls, you kind of pick up the phone. You don't let that one go to voicemail very often. No. So I got to ask them, how long were you with the Fed? What exactly were you doing for them?
So at the time I was in business development, and I like to say that business development is glorified correspondent banking. Okay. Every financial institution needs a correspondent bank. And okay. So I was acting as the correspondent banker to any respondent, Fed term. and so, yeah, I was in business development, so I could help sell any services to the bank, but also on the member relations side. It still was customer service.
So what is a correspondent banker? What does a correspondent banker do?
Okay, so every financial institution needs a bank. Every bank needs a bank. And okay. So the Fed is the central bank. Mm-hmm. And so many financial institutions would go directly to the central bank versus a middle correspondent bank like Frost Bank.
Right. Right.
And so we were in charge of many institutions. We had over 10,000 banks then. We were gearing up for Y2K, and it was anything from funds transfer to coin and currency to automated clearinghouse to check processing.
Right. So was Y2K a big deal? Was everybody really concerned about that date change?
Everybody was really concerned about Y2K. And as you know, it was non-event.
Yeah, thankfully, not a non-event. That could have been very interesting if it was.
We went to bed early 1999 because you had to be at the bank in the morning.
Oh, man, I bet. So how'd you transition to TBA? I mean, that's a little bit of a different switch from Frost Bank and correspondent banking to TBA, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so I was with the Fed, and the Fed started to change. They really, the central bank, who called themselves the decentralized bank, became the central bank. And so slowly but surely, each of the independent branches were starting to centralize those services. I had a great opportunity to go to Frost, and again, was in correspondent banking. And mm-hmm. so I, as any good correspondent banker, had the opportunity to go to a TBA event. It was one of their legislative events. And like mm-hmm. any good correspondent banker, I got there early and walked into the restaurant, and the hostess asked me if I knew CPR, which I did. Former camp mom, and at the Fed, you always took CPR. And so she very quickly brought me into the restaurant, and there on the floor was a man performing CPR on a woman. And I continued to perform CPR on the woman. And that is how I met Donnie Palmer at TBA.
That is quite the story. Was she the one you were performing CPR on?
The woman was the one, yes. And so Donnie and I performed CPR on the woman. EMS arrived. And essentially, that's how I met TBA, because I knew the TBA people, but I didn't know them very well. And that definitely was an intimate get to know you.
Yeah, about as intimate as you can get. And I bet that definitely checks some favor points for you.
And within 2 years, I went to work for TBA.
That's great. Well, with TBA, I've been getting your emails and everything like that. So I know that you're definitely very busy. But what do you do at TBA? So what's your role within the organization itself?
Thanks for asking. So when I joined TBA, the board had this directive saying that it's great to see our bankers at conferences and schools, but the way we really get to know our bankers is at their place of business.
Yeah.
So we took all of the TBA membership, divvied it up, and made it our target to see every single one of our banks in a calendar year. That's and so now we have impressive. A team of three. We've divvied up the state and we see every single one of our member banks in a calendar year.
Okay, that's quite the feat. So, I mean, I'm assuming you're responsible for Houston area and the surrounding geography.
Yes, that's correct. So I am strategically located in my territory. I cover Houston, San Antonio, some of East Texas, and then I go across to Laredo and El Paso down and hit the valley. So I'm assigned about 175 banks, member banks.
You know, my wife and I like to joke around. I was thinking that Houston, San Antonio is a pretty big gap. But then I remembered that as we drive back to Colorado, it takes us like 8 hours just to get out of Texas. So yeah, that makes sense. That's a good geographical area. So then as you're visiting these banks, what are you doing? Are you just walking and say, hi, I'm Michelle from TBA. Bye. Like what's your visit look like?
Well, absolutely. Most important, out of respect, we always have an appointment. It's best for the bankers to know that we're coming. And so I will always start with the hottest topics. What are the hottest topics today? What kind of information can we bring to the banks that are TBA related? Bankers are very busy, so they don't always have the time to go through all the emails and read all the updates. So what are those really hot topics? We'll go through each of the topics and then listen. What's going on here? Tell us so that we can carry this information back to headquarters and then follow up. We always have some kind of follow up, a document that they're interested or a conversation that they would continue like to having.
Who are you usually meeting with? Is it with bankers or are you usually meeting with like C-level directors, that the upper level management of the bank?
Yeah, so I'm usually meeting with the C-level. That's our directive, is to check in with the president. But very often the president says, I would like for you to visit with this person. Or sometimes we're lucky and the president is not available. And as I like to call them, fresh meat, people that I haven't had a chance to meet with in the past. And then I get to share the TBA story with someone new.
Oh, well, that's perfect. That's awesome. Yeah. So then as you're going into these branches, I'm assuming you're asking them like, what can we do for you? Or what do you need? And then they're given the opportunity to communicate with you. Is that also what's going on?
Yes, exactly. I have a saying, your bank doesn't fit in my brochure. So what's going on here? And what are you hearing? Because sometimes if you're in a community, maybe it's a rural community, and we just haven't heard what's happening in that community. Maybe there is a new law that is about to possibly hit the books and the bank has heard about it and we can share this information. Or maybe a possible legislator that is kicking the tires. And so same thing, we can share maybe some rule that is coming up and the banks are concerned about it. So we're really the eyes, ears, and voice of the banks to TBA.
Okay. And so then I'm assuming you take that back and you report it to whomever you will at TBA, your assigned person, and like it's communicated up. And that way that information gets spread around and everything.
Yes, that's correct. So all of TBA will receive a report, just kind of an update of what's happening at a particular bank in a particular community. You know, for example, 4-day school weeks. We really don't think that would apply to us, but it is applying to the banks and for childcare, perhaps. But some banks have gotten really creative around these 4-day school weeks. So that's information that we can share with TBA.
What for my own curiosity, what have some of these banks done around those 4-day school weeks? Have you seen some unique things that they're doing?
I really have seen some very unique things. So one of my favorite things that I've seen recently is that a particular bank, they had a playpen in the bank lobby.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kids get dropped off on the corner. They come into the bank. They sit in the back room. They do homework. Bankers have to, moms, families have to figure it out.
Yeah, and that's fantastic that they're able to support their staff and their bankers that way. I think that that's just great.
It really is amazing, yes.
So then how can, I mean, besides you going out and visiting these banks and kind of waiting on you to show up on their branch once a year or whatever it may be, how can these banks get involved and really learn about their trade association? Because, I mean, so our listeners are more than just Texas banks. Obviously, we have a chunk of individuals that are Texas banks, but every state has their own bankers association or trade association, I'm assuming, that they're likely involved with. How can they get involved with these associations?
Well, first, the most important thing that everyone needs, you know, you need to communicate. You need to raise your hand. You need to put your head up from your desk. Having a login with any trade association gives you immediate access. And mm-hmm. I know at TBA, you can create specific interests within your profile. So I always encourage folks, have yourself a TBA login, create what your profile wants, what you want your profile to look like. Because if you're receiving too much information and you're going to unsubscribe, really, we've done a disservice. So really, you do want to customize what you receive so that you're receiving those hot topics that are exactly what you're interested in. Mm-hmm. You have to have that kind of open door or open line of communication.
So you mentioned something previously when we were talking about Create. What is Create? Is this a specific program? Could you mind delving into that a little bit more?
Yeah, I would love to talk a little bit about Create. So Create is Community Reinvestment and Trust Enterprise. As you know, as banks, we love acronyms. And mm-hmm. Create, my favorite letter or word in Create is trust. There's this paintbrush that talks about how banks are mean and banks don't want to loan money. And, you know, banks are in business to loan money, Dan. And so we want to lend money. And if we said no to you, it is not personal. You did not qualify for the loan. But how do we get to yes? So the three pillars of Create are financial literacy, business literacy, and workforce diversity. My two pillars are specifically financial literacy and business literacy. Mm-hmm. And so how do we help the bank help the customer get to yes? Now, banks have so many different intricacies or volunteer projects or training that they're already doing, but how can we help the bank? And so now Zoom is very normal. We have deployed more than one Create program virtually, and the financial literacy column could be anything from tapping our partner at Experian so that the audience could understand credit better, or taking a bank that has in their strategic plan that they wanted to increase their mortgages that they offer. And so then the bank can offer steps to home buying Create. So maybe it's a three-step process. What do the documents look like? What does the paperwork need to be? How much money? You know, whatever it is, so that we can get to yes. So what are those pitfalls that are making us say no? And so how can we educate the public so that we can get to yes?
So give me those pillars one more time. It's financial literacy, and what were the other two?
So we have financial literacy, business literacy, and workforce diversity. So financial literacy, I mentioned credit, or maybe you wanted to buy a house. Business literacy, maybe you need help gaining access to capital, or you need to learn how to write an executive summary, or you don't understand why the bank needs 3 years of your income statements. How can we put a program together so that to the community, they will understand what the bank needs and how can we get to yes? Mm-hmm. I like to say taking the bank strategic plan and a community need and creating a program.
That's great. Yeah, those fit absolutely together. So I know you mentioned that those are your two pillars. Would you mind talking about that third pillar briefly? What is it?
I would love to. And so here in Texas, we have what we like to call a banking program renaissance. We have various universities that are creating banking programs in the community. And so it's great, you know, to wish that we could have this great banking program, but it needs attention. And so the three pieces that we're offering for this workforce diversity is we're going to the university and helping raise money for the program. Then we're helping establish curriculum so that, you know, we're the bankers, we're the experts. What is that curriculum going to look like? So we can work with the university to develop the programming. and the education piece. And then the last one. So you're going to graduate now. Now what? You know, we have to help you find a job. We have to help you with internships. So that would be the third piece in workforce diversity. And in so many communities, we want to do banking with someone that looks like us. So how could we go to these communities, help educate kids that would consider banking as a career and choose banking as a career? Because no matter what you like to do, I like to say, we have a place for you at the bank.
There's a place in banking.
Yes. And so then we can take the person from that community, educate them, and put them back into the community. One of our communities is offering a program. It's short of a two-year program. They'll pay for you to attend and graduate the program, and then you have a commitment with the bank.
Okay.
So it's a win-win. Great. You get to stay
that's
home.
That's a great thing.
You get to get educated and you get to have yourself a career. And with banking, as you know, there's so many benefits of banking. You have great working hours. You have benefits. You have 12 federal holidays. You're the cornerstone of the community. And you get to learn about other industries, for example.
Yeah. And I love that. So really, really what I'm hearing for small and mid-sized banks and maybe banks outside of Texas and encompassing everybody is really just get involved in the community. I mean, you can do that through your associations. You can do that through other programs, but really get involved, create an environment of outreach, educating your clients about financial literacy, business literacy, and really just be active where you are. And that will, everything else will kind of fall into place after that. Is that what I'm understanding from you?
Yes. You have to look up and, you know, we're all busy. But our industry and our future and our career develop, you know, just a little bit of attention to some of those things outside. And I know it's hard, but that little extra effort will usually go a long way.
Go a long way. I like that. So then how can we get involved in the lawmaking process? Because, I mean, obviously statute, state law, federal law, all of that plays a huge impact on even the survival of banks, arguably. So how can we get involved in that process?
Well, I don't know if anybody has told you, but that's definitely a hot button for me. Honestly and sadly, voter turnout is dismal these days. Mm-hmm. And so many people will generally feel that we don't have a voice. We don't make a difference. We can't change anything. And that's not true. The last two legislative sessions, meaningful laws were changed. But it did require effort on our part. And TBA makes it very easy to know what all the what the issues are. We have a grassroots page where you can easily go in, see what those issues are. And if you feel passionate about something, it's as simple as putting in your address and either signing a petition or helping customize your own letter, or here's a phone number, call that lawmaker. Here's something that we forget, Dan. Lawmakers are not bankers.
That's true.
Lawmakers are not bankers. And we think everybody understands debits and credits, but they don't. They do not understand the banking industry. And while I love to say it's black and white, it's a little gray in there too. But we're highly regulated, and we have to remember how highly regulated we are. Yeah. So one phone call, one letter goes a really long way, and there's a bunch of us. So can you just imagine if everybody called and said, I disagree with this, our voices would be heard a little better. So that little bit of effort goes a really long way.
So if I had to sum everything up just from the past 20 minutes that we've been talking, raise your hand and participate. Is that an effective summary, would you say?
Raise your hand and participate. Speak up. We need to hear from you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I have folks will say, oh man, I feel bad. I call all the time. Keep calling. That's job security for us.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's why we get paid. You call us and then we'll get the job done.
Exactly.
Well, that's perfect. Well, I do want to ask you one last question, and it's something that I love asking all my guests just because we get such a variety of different responses. But Michelle, if you could give one piece of advice to the listeners tuning into this episode today, what piece of advice would you give?
Well, I have to tell you, Dan, I told you my wild story about performing CPR on this woman, but it did take that particular man to say, wow, let me look aside from what I would normally look at as an audience for a potential position. And let me look outside of my normal circle. Mm-hmm. And so I was sponsored to leave Frost and move to TBA. Someone brought me up. And so how do we look outside of our circle and look for those gems? I'm going to call myself a gem for a minute. And you know, find that new idea, that new fresh mind that can make a difference. And, you know, quite frankly, that's how I got on with Fed. I was different. And so we have some different quiet people that we can tap because they have the energy. They have the know-how. They just need the opportunity.
I love that. And you kind of had a little bit of the unique scene where you were sales to the Fed and then the Fed brought you on and then CPR and then TBA. So I think that's perfect. I think that's a great concept. Just if we look out of the atypical application piece of paper that you get from submission and really look into the community and those around us, we might find the hidden gems of the world. I like that. Well, Michelle, thank you very much for joining us for today's episode. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much, Daniel. I appreciate it.
For the rest of our guests listening in, that's Banking Matters.